This is the Chicagoverse podcast on the Dynasty Podcasts Network, showcasing conversations with Chicago's creative communities and professional industries. Hosted by Haima Black. Welcome to Chicago.
Dynasty Podcasts, Haima Black, recording virtually tonight. We'll be back at a 21C hotel later this month. But I am very excited tonight to be joined by Jeremy Hodges, founder at a few different organizations that we're going to talk about tonight, which is exciting. Founder at Project Art Collective, Fresh Laundry, and VOYD. We're going to talk about all three of those, but how are you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing good, man. Excited to be here and, really honored to just be able to be on your platform and talk a little bit.
No, man, I'm excited to talk to you. You and I have not met before. And one of my favorite things about podcasting, and maybe you feel the same way just about like any project you get to, you know, head up and be part of, is like, I get to connect to a lot of people I would not maybe have crossed paths with otherwise, which is exciting.
100%. Yeah. You know, like, especially in the city of Chicago, it's like being able to meet new people and just vibe, especially in the creative community. Cause I believe, you know, you have the media platform, but it's just as creative anything I would do. And so being able to meet you and extend that network is awesome.
No, man, I feel the same way. So something I always do, you know, when I have a guest on Dynasty Podcast for the first time is I like to kind of do the Marvel origin story. You know what I mean? Like start at the beginning. So tell me a little bit about yourself, because we're going to talk about these great organizations that you founded, the work you did with those. But like, how did your creative career kind of begin and how did it get you to the point where you're launching multiple creative organizations?
Yeah, you know, I'll go through the summary of my career and life. It's very unconventional, but it started when I was in college at Northern throwing parties. I was the promoter on campus, throwing all the events, 19 years old, you know, doing homecoming and doing concerts and bringing just a cool community of people together. That landed where I met some key people in the city of Chicago at 19. And then I started doing some events around the city and promoting, and the events got bigger and bigger. And then my first kind of ask from a brand to work on some projects was Red Bull. So that was kind of like the launch of an official company to do like real client work and not just throw an event and put money in my own pocket. And then that just kind of went downhill, started meeting new people in the industry. And then 2011, I met some guys over at Walton Isaacson and realized that it was an opportunity for me to come in and learn from some of the best in the industry. So I ended up kind of shutting down my shop, went into theirs, worked as a unicorn on the account side and learned all the nuances of what marketing and strategy was. But I've always kept my feet and ear to the ground of like, what is cultural, what is the events and so forth. And so about 3 years there, I kind of got tired of it and I launched Project Art to help raise funds. So when I first started Project Art, it wasn't even to like make money or become a company in the vein that it is now. What it was to help generate finances for nonprofits. Cause I thought like I could utilize my connections and I could utilize my ability to market and get people out and awareness to just bring noise and raise funds. Cause nonprofits, especially in the art space, were getting cut from schools and then didn't have really a plan or a way to do big marketing or advertising. So I partnered with some street artists. We put some shirts out there, generated some funds, did some donations. And when I did that with Project Art, brands and a couple people just thought I was back out in the world. So I started getting phone calls. One of the big first phone calls did an Anheuser-Busch project at South by Southwest. Then that led to doing some stuff with Lady Gaga and then just kind of started snowballing again and, you know, got roles at the high level at some advertising agencies, but decided to just kind of like stick it on my own and do my own thing with Project Art because I wanted it to be different. I didn't want it to be an advertising agency where we're just selling culture for a fee, but really selling a culture and a message that is bigger to unify and bring community together, similar to what music and hip hop did, right? And so I wanted to bring that kind of mantra and attitude to the marketing and advertising world.
I love that. And there's so much I feel like to pick apart in that and so many places we could go. But something that stuck out to me early on in what you just said is that like you started throwing events, you started throwing parties early on. And like, man, I feel like especially in the like pre-internet or pre-social media or pre-smartphone age.
Yeah.
And if you're throwing parties now, yes, that's still like impactful. But like, man, back then, if you were the guy who was putting those things together, like you were the center of everything.
Yep.
And you got to know everybody. And then like you start building the network and look at where it got you.
Yeah, you know, that was, I try to explain to everyone I work with nowadays of how easy and how to leverage the internet is like, because I used to have to hit the ground running. I was outside at every key club event, slapping hands with all the DJs.
Dude, I used to do flyering at 2, 4, 5 a.m. in the morning, you know, exactly. Like for my own events and then for promoters that would hire me. And like, and it was cold. I would do that in January. I get it. I know that that was not easy work.
It was a hustle. And, you know, Chicago's not easy. It's a it's a grind in the city to try to get someone to pay attention to your crowd and to your event. But we stuck it through, and it wasn't saying that it was all easy path, but it was a lot of learning experiences, a lot of bumps and bruises, and I wouldn't change anything in the world from what I've learned through all those trials and tribulations and positive moments that I've had.
Being on the front lines and being the guy who was booking everything, promoting everything, meeting everybody, that had to have set you up for like being able to take the lead and launch your own operations. Like you said, not just be kind of like one of many individuals working in a larger org. And there's nothing wrong with like working for a bigger ad agency or whatever, but it's like, you clearly had the toolkit to be able to be like, all right, I can take charge of this. I can do my own version of it. So let's start with like Project Art Collective, because that's a big thing that you have. I recently found out about Project Art Collective in the last couple of weeks, last couple of months. So bring us into, you know, what this organization is, what it does, what your role is there, and how you decided, like, I want my own thing that is mine that I can take charge of.
Yeah, you know, Project Art, like I said, when I first started it, I had no intentions. It was a struggle. Should I be a nonprofit, or, you know, should I partner with nonprofits? And I decided to go the later route, because I was like, why take any revenue from companies that are doing it well, where I could probably do it, but not do it at the level that these people are. They're doctors, they got MBAs, and this is what they study and really live. So I'm like, let me bring my expertise of marketing and bringing people together or around a specific goal and try to generate a couple funds. And so that's what we end up starting to do. And so when I got into the advertising world, I started realizing that there's an opportunity to shift what that looks like, because in advertising, big agencies, it's all about the margin and it's all about what's the bottom line rather than what is the message, what's the why, what's the purpose, and like, who are we targeting? Because, you know, we're looking at these consumers every day and doing studies and analysis of like, how do we reach them? But I've always had that instinct, especially coming from the promoter life, of what will a consumer want? You know, how will they react? And if I didn't have that feeling, or if I didn't know how to do that, I would have an empty space or an empty nightclub. And so I kind of had an instinct that others didn't have in the room. So that was one thing that taught me like, wait, okay, I'm a little bit different here. Like I can play this game at a different level. Now, the things I didn't learn, didn't know, was I had to take my ego out of it and just say, I need to use this as a learning experience. So I took it as like, I'm going to get my MBA in real life. And so when they would go in and start talking about KPIs and ROIs and all these different terms, I'm like, what in the world are they talking about? But I would take that, go to Google, digest it, and be like, oh, this is what it means. And then I would go in with my spin on it and bring it. The other thing that I learned was that I was a money generator for a lot of these companies. And so when they wanted to be cool, I would get the phone call from these big agencies to be like, hey, let's bring Jeremy in because he could do something special for this one project or for this one thing. And I won't say any names, but I remember working on a client and they gave us a rinky dink budget. And I remember it was an agency that got like a $20 million budget and they gave us a rinky dink of it. But the work we did and created is what spearheaded and sparked the entire brand to like blow up. They used all the stuff at their sales meeting. It was like the campaign of the year.
Man, I have heard this song so many times. You know that this is like, this is not an uncommon event that you're describing.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And so I was like, okay, so now if I can generate money for these people, you know, I just got to keep learning and see at the top. So I would like find whoever the best. And I was very, very lucky that I had people like Matthew Krause. I had people like Corey Isaacson that kind of took me under their wing and like was willing to teach me the game. And so being able to learn the advertising business world, it wasn't just me throwing like a hip hop concert and all and or, you know, a cool party. But now I started putting some rhyme and reason, some strategy behind it and some thinking of like, oh, I can scale this whole thing and turn it into a business. So I started just kind of massaging it and using it like clay and start turning it into what Project Art is today. So I started stripping away like community and the voice of the people is definitely the what Project Art stands for. That's one of our key values. And then I started thinking like, okay, I want to react and act like how consumers react and act with culture. And so it's, you know, live events, content, and social. I need to know how all that stuff works because in real time, that's how they react. And then just naturally, like our instincts becoming promoters, you have to react in real time. So that's one thing is we could pick up our phone call and know what's happening because our feet are, we have so many tentacles out there that someone's like, oh, this is the next hot thing in New York. You've got to get on it. And we're on it. And then we're able to introduce that to someone that can help raise funds or fund it or introduce someone that can put it out to the public. And so that's kind of where we started going. And then just kind of kept going with bigger and bigger brands. And we're, like I said, working with Lady Gaga on her Joanne dive bar tour. Working on a couple projects where we did 40 bands in 4 days at South by Southwest to get some bigger notoriety. Did some stuff with Run the Jewels, did some stuff with Drake. And then that kind of started opening up the doors now where everybody was like, okay, Jeremy is the guy that is connected in the Midwest, but I keep a low profile. Like I'm not a guy that's like super bragging on social or was out there. People knew I did cool stuff and I delivered, but I wasn't the one that was always like flashing it. And so I think when we started Project Art, our big turnover is when we got asked to do and design the Tupac Museum 2.5 years ago. And so when I got that request, that kind of changed our trajectory big time to where now it's not us just throwing events. We're actually building 30,000 square foot museums out in the world of one of the most iconic musicians out there. So now it's us keeping up with that from, you know, AEG Live Nation calling us to help do marketing for festivals, to estates calling us to help manage estates, to us being in business with, you know, Q-Tip and RZA on some projects and just working, you know. We helped Wiz Khalifa launch his restaurant concept. And so it has changed dramatically, but I think we're headed in a way that we can shift how and what marketing looks like in a real world and use art and our artistic expression to make positive impact out there.
I love all that. I love everything you just described, man. That is very cool. And it sounds to me like the center of all this is like experiential.
100%.
You know what I mean? Like you're building like, whether it's a museum, whether it's an album release party, like this is not just like a cool Instagram campaign. Like Instagram's probably part of it, but it's like, but this is happening in real time, in real space. And I feel like, especially after the pandemic, we are seeing like, whether it's like a Meow Wolf, whether it's like,
yep,
you know, any of these, you know, pop-ups at bars where it's like, oh my God, it's like Saved by the Bell, or it's this TV show where that's, you know, Stranger Things. Like people want to be in a space experiencing things right now.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what it is, man. I love experiences because of human connection. You said it earlier when you mentioned like, you know, we were boots on the ground and we had to like, there was no quick phone call or a quick email to 40,000 people. It was like us hustling, slapping hands at the doorman and everyone. So that human connection and that relationship was a bond that automatically got hit. Like, even if I saw you, you know, shooting your flyers out, the head nod across the street in the respect of your hustle, my hustle at 4 a.m, we knew that there was a connection right there. And I think in the world of just social media on its own, it's gotten lost. And so COVID has, I think, reset that pandemic has reset everyone to realize the importance of that. And so that's why you see this traffic just like, give me every live experience you can get. And so my belief is everything could be an experience, whether it's digital or physical. It's how do you create the community around it to make it feel like it's substantial, it's organic, and it's a real connection and not just something that's sold or manufactured to, you know, sell tickets. And so that's where it's all about the storytelling. It's all about making people feel like they're involved and like this is their thing. I'm a real big component. Like I either want you to cry, laugh, or do some kind of emotional connection when you come to one of our experiences. And like I said, you could do that now in the virtual world, but you have to be smart and bring it all together and round it to make everyone feel like they're a part of something bigger.
Well, and it sounds like music is really at the center of so many of your projects, so many of your collaborations, like whether it is Wiz Khalifa or SZA or Lady Gaga. It's like, and I know from looking at your different websites portfolio, there's work that is non-music, but like, is music really your first and foremost kind of passion in this?
100%. You know, I always wanted to, even at 19 and 18, my dream was to work in the music business because I'm not from Chicago. I'm from a small town, 2 hours west in Freeport, Illinois, which is like in the middle of the cornfields. And so I wasn't supposed to be in the music industry. I wasn't supposed to be in the entertainment industry because, you know, I didn't see any of that unless it was on MTV or BET. I didn't get access to it. And so now seeing that, my dream was like, I wanted to be Diddy. I'll take a step back. I started out, I wanted to be the rapper, Jay-Z and the Biggie Smalls. And then I started realizing like, who's the people behind the scene? And I just started seeing how some of these executives move. And I was like, I kind of want to be the executive.
You want to be the guy behind the guy.
Yeah, I want to be the guy behind the guy. No one knows who I am. I don't need to be dancing in there, but like, I'm making the world turn in the music industry. And so I tried my hand at it, you know, started a couple of labels, and it just organically, like, that wasn't the right synergy, right? I was organically a good person of bringing people together. That was my superpower. You know, I wasn't Kobe Bryant being able to hit all the jumpers. I was very good at bringing 10, 15,000 people in a room and having a good time. And so with that being said, you know, I translate that into marketing, and it's really the same vibe. If you're a promoter, you're probably one of the best marketers out there because you had to always be constantly thinking like, how do you get these people entertained on a weekly basis? And it wasn't just in a campaign. It was like every single week. Or if you're a really good promoter, you got something going on 3 or 4 times in a week. So you were flipping new ideas all the time, and bringing that was there. But music and DJs were always a center because I love how there's no judgment with music, especially when you start getting your broaden. One of my best experiences I've ever was when I went to Tomorrowland and just saw how 400,000 people come together in one set. And it was every country, every race that you can imagine under just vibing. And I'm not an EDM fan, but at that moment I was in the zone, bro. Like, it felt great. And so seeing that power of bringing people together in unison against one cause, you know, music is a life form that taps into every emotion, that opens up every door and every conversation. So music's always at the center of what we do.
Well, I mean, I'd love to ask you about a couple of these projects that you've done.
Yeah.
Just kind of get your take on bringing us into them. This is a record release event was the first thing that like kind of caught my attention that you did. It was not long ago, but bring us into that one.
Yeah, that was in December, right before her album release. We had 5 days to pull that off. And so we got a phone call from some of our partners over at Multiply Creative and Sony, and was like, hey, we need to pull this event off in LA in 5 days. Can you do it? And of course, you know, it's holiday season and everyone's like, but then we're like, oh, it's SZA, you know, and I've done projects with SZA in the past. So I'm like, okay, let's get it done. Let's figure it out. We, you know, basically relocated to LA for a week and pulled off a really great event that sparked conversation. I don't want to say that, you know, we end up having like 3,000 people show up to this event and ton of celebrity and influential people in the building. And from there, she, you know, she went from SNL to this event. And then from there, her album is on the Billboard charts nonstop. So I'm not saying that that was all of us, but it's cool to be a part of that story and the launch of this album.
What about the Bob Marley? Like, there's right now the Bob Marley One Love experience that's happening in Los Angeles. Talk about that.
Yeah, so Bob Love, that's another one. You know, the promoter and the guys that own the IP for that project called us and just wanted us to come in at first to help out with social media. It was like, how do we get, you know, traffic going on the social end? So we started putting some plans together, help drive some traffic. And it just organically started where we started helping with more and start helping with the vision and ideas of what it could be and how it could move. But, you know, we just did the launch, what, about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and it's been going crazy and opening. And a lot of that, too, came from the expertise of what we learned by opening up the Tupac experience in L.A. And so that opened up a lot of floodgates of just companies and brands and everyone from, you know, Guns N' Roses to Usher calling us to ask us for different opinions and how can we do some creative thinking around some of the stuff they're doing.
Well, I mean, again, I'm not surprised because like we've established, it's like experiential is where it's at. And I think if you're an artist, and I'm not a musician, I'm certainly not a superstar musician. So I'm guessing here, but it's like, I don't think it's enough for you to be one of these big acts who like, okay, I'll speak for myself. Like when I was like a teenager, if I went to go see the Smashing Pumpkins, that was like a larger than life experience. You know what I mean? And especially in like the 90s, superstars were, they were mysterious. They were detached. There was no social media. You couldn't tweet at Eddie Vedder. Like they were just, they existed behind a curtain, you know?
Yeah.
But now it's, I don't think it's enough to just have, unless you're like a Beyonce or a Taylor, it's not enough to just have a tour. It's like, you have to have like someplace that people can go take selfies, you know, in front of your album cover or whatever. Right. Like, so yes, it's not surprising at all that you have these artists that are, you know, reaching out to you about this.
Yeah. You know, and a lot of artists, man, you know, when you really meet them and are around them, you just realize they're human. And so they need support of like, how do I go and bring people in into my life without like just being a camera following me around? And so we try to build experiences that even if they're not there, it feels like you're a part of something bigger and that you are close and can read something. I mean, good example is Tupac, right? I mean, Tupac is not here on earth at all. And being able to have people walk from the beginning of his childhood to the end of his last day and strategically have this roller coaster ride of emotions that we plotted out that we wanted and make people feel like they stepped into their shoes was the whole goal. Like we wanted to honor one of our most iconic hip hop artists. And, you know, when you look at hip hop music and you also look at our Black artists in hip hop music, there's a timeline on it. You know, you don't see a hip hop artist touring like a Rolling Stone. So what I always tell, I want to turn it into an art form. So this is the most iconic music. How do we turn it into where people will respect it because it changed and morphed into something bigger instead of you just having to go tour? Because it's sad, but like no one wants to go see an old man rapping on stage.
And touring's hard. The older you get,
exactly.
You know, I mean, it's insane that the Stones still play live, but it's like, every, you know, there's artists who I followed for, you know, 3 decades. And it's like, I can see that it's like, it's more work than it was 20 years ago for them.
100%. Yeah, man. Yeah. Cause I mean, it's nonstop, cities on cities stacked. You are flying in and out and it's a grind on the body. And so like, if we can create some experiences that help take that grind away a little bit, it's been good. And another thing with us too is like we get phone calls and they're like, man, you guys don't feel like an agency or like you're trying to sell something. It's like you actually care. And that's a huge thing for us because like I'm not in it for the money and I'm not trying to chase a dollar amount. I'm trying to chase the amazing work and I know everything else will come. So it's like, let's do the coolest project possible and put the most crazy work out in the world and see what happens and see what comes back. And so that's the whole goal of how we're moving.
Well, I mean, okay, so that lines up with something I wanted to ask you about, which is that looking at the Project Art website, you mentioned, and like on the like about page of that site, you mentioned that it's a very small org.
Yep.
And it's comprised of artists. You know, you've got artists who are bringing these things to life in a small team of them. How does that work to your advantage? How does that make things better that you're producing?
Yeah, you know, the difference is that it's authentic. That's the number one thing that I've learned was...
Which you can't buy.
Which you cannot buy. And I know it's a word that everyone tosses around when they're in the rooms with the big brands or the executives of, we're going to be authentic. But it truly is different when I can tap into the artists that actually can create the piece or help out with the piece and bring them to the forefront to help tell a deeper story. And it helps us be nimble. When you're not chasing a margin, you're not afraid to say like no to a client, or you're not afraid to say, this is how we need to push this to be successful. And so I think that has opened up the floodgates to where my relationships are stronger with the clients we have because they feel like we're just honest. Like I don't sugarcoat because I don't want to lose the account or any of those things. We have real conversations about how to drive revenue for your business. And this is how we see it. And this is how we know it can work. And then bringing it into our system we can scale up or down depending on what we need. But like the core audit, the core team is very small, nimble, and we can deliver any top-notch work. Like we compete with some of the biggest firms that are out there, but we don't have to move or have 1,000 people in the room. We go in maybe 4 people deep and can win whatever.
Because you have the right people there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. That's really important because, like you said, authenticity is one of these words that gets thrown around in a lot of meetings, a lot of Zoom calls, a lot of like, but it sort of has just lost a lot of meaning.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of an artist, you can tell right away if the thing you're going to is real, you know, if it does have a real connection to that talent, or if it is just like an afterthought that somebody like.
Yeah.
Now I want to switch gears. Let's talk about some of these other organizations you have.
Yep.
VOYD, Voice of Young Dreamers. So I was looking at that site. This feels like it's like more of like a long form blog post type of portal.
Yeah.
And you don't really see as many blogs anymore. So like talk about this project and what it adds to what you're doing.
Yeah. You know, I started this, I think I started 3 years ago. But the reason I started it was I was having a meeting with a couple of different media companies, Vice, Spin Media, and so forth. And a lot of the stories that I started seeing were just like regurgitated of like guns, drugs, rock and roll. It was like, let's do this thing about Juice WRLD. But like the Juice WRLD, it was like focused on his drug habit, or it was focused on the guns in the studio. And I'm like, there's so many dope stories about these artists that you can still have that grits and glamour without all the sensationalized BS that you surround it. And so that's where I was like, you know what? Why don't I just put a blog out in the world and strip all that away and see what happens? And so it's basically a labor of love for me. Like we don't monetize it. We don't make any money. This is a platform now that allows young artists to get out and for us to say, oh, we like these people. Let's talk about them. We don't put content out every single day. It might be once a day or whatever it is. But, you know, we get, you know, 100 and something thousand unique clicks a month, and it's slowly growing. Our email database is growing to like 50,000 people, and it's just organically doing that on its own. So I think now it's like, oh, this is something special. And how that turns is I have a focus group that's in real time when I do anything with my experiences. So like when I go in a meeting and I say, oh, this is the next big artist, I can easily put them on a platform and prove why this artist is the next thing. Or this artist might only have 3,000 followers, but it's a cult following and they show up no matter where these people go and all those things. So it's really a platform that's I'm going to keep investing in and just keep letting it grow and see where it happens with it. But it's not something that I'm chasing to be like, oh, this is the next big this is Rolling Stone or any of that stuff. If it turns into that, man, God bless. And I'm blessed to be able to have something down there. But I started it for a need to just celebrate the culture and people of color across the realm. And another reason too is that I like to celebrate the diaspora of all things music. And so yeah, a lot of times when people see like Black artists, it's like, oh, they're hip hop or they're R&B. But they forget about the Kenny Hooplas, who's a punk rock kid from Ohio.
Oh, yeah. He was at Riot Fest, I think, this past year.
Yeah. And so I want to be able to show that diaspora of, you know, the Asian community, the Latino Hispanic community, the Black community, of like the diversity of music and not just a specific genre. It's like, no. This world and this culture is all of this. And like, let's come to this platform and enjoy it.
Well, I thought it was very interesting just because we don't see, I mean, you know, we both remember the 2000s, early 2010s, like blogs ruled the conversation. You know what I mean? They were the tastemakers. And I feel like then, you know, Twitter, Snapchat, TikTok, everything is so instantaneous. You know, if there's a TikTok that's 40 seconds now, you're like, I don't have 2 hours to watch that. You know what I mean? Like somehow that became the like Lord of the Rings extended edition of like content now, which is wild. So we don't see a whole lot of like long form blogs, but I love reading something long form about an artist, whether it's somebody I'm, you know, a big fan of or just learning about. Like, I think that it's almost sort of a lost art, the like long form piece where you're actually reading something substantial longer than a tweet.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. And that's why, you know, we invest in having writers write and just come up with their opinions. And we sit down and now I'm in the process of like, maybe we should get like an editor in chief and like really turn it into a thing. Cause right now it's me just saying like oh, here's 10 artists that I really love. And then they put in their artists and they put in, and then everyone starts writing frantically. I write some when I have time and put it up there. But it's like when people send a article back, then we put it up and say like, oh yeah, that's a dope artist, or that's a dope political statement, or that's a really dope painter. Let's give them on our platform and just know that they're like in the Void family.
Final project we're talking about here is Fresh Laundry. Now, correct me if I'm wrong on any of this. It looks like a resource studio here in Chicago for creatives, connecting them with opportunities. Is that all right? And then, you know, tell 100%. Me about, yeah, what you're doing with this project, what the mission is.
Yeah, so a year and a half ago, we started, I have two partners, Angela and Lisa, on this project. But it was a brainchild that I started because working in the advertising industry, one of the hardest things that you see is finding people of color above a certain level when you get in. And when I started doing research, it started coming back with some of the research that a lot of people feel like they're just not welcome. And a lot of people feel like there's no mentorship, or there's no doors open for them to get to the next level. And so I was like, why don't we create an opportunity for people to get into some of these jobs as a freelance resource? That one is not just a meat factory of here's some portfolios, you know, just send them off, but really like, let's interview these people. Let's tell them how to switch and create a better resume. Let's do all these elements. And then we connect them with the right agencies or the right in-house agencies for big brands. So we work with that one from everyone from McDonald's to Patreon to Uber. We've staffed a lot in those realms, and we have a great team that's just building. And now what we're doing is trying to like turn it into a more tech form platform to make it easier for these artists for these creatives to put up their portfolios and have conversations quicker with, you know, put up a job board instead of us having to call and email out what we have available. They could just go in real time and see what it is, apply for it. And so we're switching in the next couple of months. Hopefully all that would be rolled out to grow. But yeah, it was a need. And once we launched it, it kind of just took off. And so it's another one that I'm really excited about and just see the potential and growth that can happen.
Well, I mean, okay. So, everything you're talking about is very impressive. And the fact that you have kind of, you know, these three different vehicles happening all at once that are all, you know, I feel like connected in the spirit of their goals, but all achieving separate goals at the same time. It's like, A, that's very impressive. And B, not remotely that's not enough, but like, I'm going to guess that you're also thinking of other things. Are there other ideas in your head where you're like, you know what we can do to build on this or take this in a different direction? So like, what else is ahead for you, or what else are you thinking about activating?
Yeah, you know, we have a lot in our head. Everything from festivals. I want to launch a gallery. Like, we're in the process now, actually, of kind of going back to the roots of where we started with Project Art with this. It's going to be a subdivision of Project Art called Raven and Stone, because our logo is a raven. And the stone means the streets and the community that everyone comes from. And the raven is, you know, the symbol of people that were misunderstood, but they are one of the most intelligent birds that soar high above everything else. So we really want to create this pop-up gallery experience to where we give young artists a platform, and then we also raise money for nonprofits and just things of need. And it won't necessarily be just so specific about school. You know, one month it may be about suicide prevention. The next month it may be about homeless women shelters. The next month may be about feeding children before school starts. So Raven and Stone's whole mission will be kind of generating that love nature. I mean, everything I do is the end goal. Like I said, it's not about chasing the dollar amount, but it's about creating platforms that can shift a change and help people, whether it's, you know, putting new creatives an opportunity to become in key positions at ad agencies with Fresh Laundry, to allowing bands to have a platform to tell their true spirit and self that doesn't glorify the negative, but really enhances the positive story, to Project Art expanding and kind of opening the door for a bigger, wide range of storytelling and opportunity there. And so I really just want to help and be a part of the solutions as much as we can. So I think eventually we'll start getting into more the, not necessarily political, but more of the working real deep with the nonprofit realm. We just got done doing a big project for Bill Gates and with the Breakthrough Energy to help solve climate change. Did a summit in Seattle, And we were in charge of the creative and building these big artistic experiences that allow people to see what his goal and mission to solve climate change. And so that's where I really want to shift of like using our work to help explain and change those bigger missions. And how can you bring people together? Because, you know, it's subjective when you do art, and so, but it triggers your conversation in the way you want people to get triggered and talk about.
I mean, that's very admirable. That's very exciting. What you're, everything you're envisioning and everything you're currently activating. So I love that we got to start this conversation. Dynasty Podcast has been going on a long time and I have no intention to stop it. So I like to bring people back on the podcast as they have new projects to talk about. So, so I hope we can continue this conversation, you know, as you have new things happening, man, because I think everything you're describing, everything you're doing is very cool, very inspirational. I love that you are making this happen.
Oh, man. Thank you again for, you know, reaching out and opening up the door for us to meet, because I think this is going to be a rich relationship, even if it's not on a podcast. I would love, you know, just having coffee and shooting the shit, and is a wonderful world and building. And if anything I could do to help you or introductions in your endeavors as well, man, please let me know.
We got to make something happen. But this is so cool. I love everything you're doing. I love that you're doing it, and you're doing it for the right reasons. Very inspirational.
Thank you.
Jeremy Hodges, founder at Project Art Collective, Fresh Laundry, and VOYD. Thank you for taking the time tonight, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you so much.
You've been listening to a production of Dynasty Podcasts. Find more Dynasty Podcasts at dynastypodcasts.com. For the dynamic dynasty, Dynasty Descend.